tell me a little bit about the project. Where did the idea come from, and what is in the film?
So it was my first semester as a journalism graduate student, and I'd never really done any video projects before. My professor kind of said to us at the beginning of the semester, pick a topic that's two-sided, it has to have two obvious sides, and you're going to use the rest of the semester to make a video around it, a short video. And I was just kind of like looking on the news because I wanted it to kind of be local to make it easier for the documentary to be produced. And I was just looking, and at the time, this was September last year, there wasn't too much in the news about the Thacker Pass mine. There was like a few stories here and there, but they still hadn't started construction fully. And I was like, well, this is a very obvious story with like two completely opposing sides. What better story to do for my video? It's local. It affects kind of people from around the region as well as just our state. And that's kind of what led me to that. It's an important topic. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, more people were aware of it. It's definitely more people are aware of it now than they were like a year ago, but still probably underreported.
Lithium is so important. And there's so many desperate people around the world that are going to be flooded out with the climate changing aspects, is that we need to all be all on board to find those metals that are necessary for reducing the impact of climate change.
You mentioned the two competing sides. Let's just lay it out. What are the two sides? What are their arguments in favor of the mine, and what are people saying who are against the mine?
Yeah, so it's definitely a very polarizing debate. Most people are either for or against it. There's a few people in the middle, like one of the people that I interviewed for my documentary was very much in the middle, but most people are either one side or the other, for or against. The people that are for the mine, they see the lithium that would be produced by the mine is like invaluable to our green goals as a country, creating more EV batteries. And they believe that the lithium that we would get from the mine would offset any environmental damage that the mining would cause, because mining is disruptive to the land, and no matter what kind of mining and what kind of precautions are taken. And then the people who are against it kind of separated that a little bit more. There's the environmentalists who, there's a lot of species there that, like, there's a snail that's kind of lives in these springs around Humboldt County, around the mine. And with the mining project, they're kind of concerned that the entire species will go extinct. There's various animals that use it as a migration corridor, so that would disrupt their migration processes. So we have environmentalists who are against it. And then also the indigenous communities are pushing very hard to kind of stop. I mean, they started construction already and their protests have kind of been like ignored, but they have very deep cultural connection to the land. There was a big battle that was, they lost a lot of lives there. They have people buried there from their tribes. So I don't know, in their heads, it's like the white people have already taken enough of their land and enough of their resources. And this is kind of like one of their last sites that they have, which means a lot to them, and also that's get taken away.
I did some reporting on the Thacker Pass project a few years ago, and one of the concerns I heard locally was also ranchers were concerned about, you know, whether it's, I'm going to lose half of my grazing allotment, or what are we going to do with water, or what's the impact of traffic? Like, did you hear any of those concerns at all from like the ranching community or any other local folks?
I didn't have the opportunity to interview any of the locals. It was a very short time frame for the documentary, but I did get to interview John Hadder. He is the director of the Great Basin Resource Watch, and that nonprofit focuses a lot on water usage and wastage. So they've been kind of a big part of the Thacker Pass and pushed the pushback behind it. And sort of when I interviewed John, he was concerned, like very concerned about the amount of water that they would use. Obviously, like when you're planning for a mine, they have to do all these surveys and they have to look at how much water they're planning on using over the mine life.
So water has always been a key issue, key aspect in Nevada and the Great Basin, and it's also very much so for mining, because mine projects tend to use a lot of water in some way or another.
I'm curious, how much did you know about the project before you started this? What did you learn throughout this process? Was there anything that really surprised you or stuck out to you?
I'd known a little bit about the mine just from reading the news. I'm a big consumer of like local news. I read it every day. So you'd have the odd article come up kind of as the protests were happening and as things progressed with the project. But I didn't know a lot about how much it would affect the people, the animals, everything like that. So, you know, the project, I was doing a lot of research, obviously trying to figure out who would be the best people to interview, what kind of issues I would have to cover in the documentary. I wanted to make sure that I covered all the bases, but there's a lot of different opinions and a lot of moving parts. The documentary ended up being a bit more geared towards the environmental kind of impacts. And I would have liked to have brought in more of the indigenous perspectives and talk about that too, but I feel like that kind of deserved a video and like coverage of its own. In the future, maybe if I was going to expand on my video, then I would definitely try and get more of that in there. But yeah, I learned a lot about how it affects the people. I didn't even know about the war that occurred there and how important it was to them.
I think it was a massacre, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A huge massacre. And, you know, they were like, as they were surveying the land, some bones were being dug up, and that's just completely inappropriate. So I can see why that they're so angry about it and have been trying to stop it. And as well with the animals, there are so many species of sagebrush and animals and this snail that could be completely extinct. The mine is located right on the northern part of the state next to Oregon. And there's antelope, there's the sage grouse, obviously, and there's all these kinds of animals that use the Thacker Pass. That is their migration corridor from coming across the state lines. And as the seasons change, they have to use that. Glenn Miller, he kind of took the stance of being in the middle. Glenn used to work for the Great Basin Resource Watch, and he is more of an advocate for the mine. So he kind of like, they didn't really align well. So he left. But it was interesting to interview both of them, especially because Glenn, he kind of had this mindset, well, like, the sagebrush, yes, will be destroyed, but I mean, our state is full of sagebrush. Like, we don't have a shortage of it. There'll be other places for the animals to go. They don't need like that specific sagebrush. We have so much of it. We have seas of it. So I guess it's like, we won't know how the biodiversity will be affected until it kind of happens.
I do want to ask though about the mine. Did you chat with any of the folks from the mine, from Lithium Americas? Just curious how they're responding to some of these environmental concerns.
I ended up speaking with Tyree Gray. He is the director, the head person in charge at the Nevada Mining Association. But they're kind of very involved with the mine and with Lithium Americas. I had the opportunity to interview someone from Lithium Americas, but it kind of arose right at the end of the semester, so I didn't have time to really organize that. But
sure.
Kind of what Tyree was saying is, here in Nevada, like, we have the most stringent mining laws in the whole world. Obviously, there's mining going on elsewhere in the world that doesn't have those laws, and safety isn't like the top priority for like the miners and everything like that. But they have all these laws in place, and paperwork has to be done. Things have to be filed for the mine to go ahead. And kind of what he was saying is that in order for the mine to go ahead, which it has, they have to have things in place to ensure that the environment won't be damaged.
Mining companies pay every single tax that every other business pays, plus an industry-specific tax, which is called the net proceeds of mines. And those dollars actually go directly into our education system. So being able to have a large mine that's going to be producing a lot of revenue is going to actually be able to help not only that local economy, but really education throughout the state.
But I guess it's like kind of what John was saying as well. After the mine's had its 35, 40 years of life, kind of like, will the land ever be able to recover? That's kind of a question that I asked him. And he said, again, like, you don't really know like how long, like, eventually it will recover, but it might take years. It might take hundreds of years. The animals might never return to that area again. So you don't really know.
Yeah. Let me ask, what is something that has stuck with you since making this?
I personally just really enjoyed interviewing each individual person, because their opinions on the mine and on the operations were just so different. And just the general thing I left with, which has kind of like stuck with me now, is just this idea of like trade-offs. Yeah, we can mine and we'll have all this lithium, and we can get rid of gas-powered vehicles and increase electric vehicles, and that will help climate change. But then in doing that, we have to kind of destroy some land and destroy the environment that people are living in. and that animals are living in. And so there's always a trade-off. And also, I think just how underreported it was like very shocking to me. And I thought, even like I would ask people, people would be like, oh, what are you doing for your video project for the class? And I would tell them, I'm doing the Thacker Pass lithium mine. And they'll be like, what's that? And I'm like, how like do you not know about it? And I think that's what was pretty shocking to me.
Wow. I mean, it just shows the lack of resources that journalists have here in this region to be able to cover these important stories. Was there much of an argument in the folks that you talked to about this sort of local versus federal kind of conflict? And I don't want to put any words in your mouth at all.
That wasn't really the main theme of the discussion that sure. I had the interviews with, but I could definitely see why that would be such a big issue, because with like the president is pretty much setting all these green goals for electric vehicles and saying like, if we need this much lithium to do this and this and this. And that puts a lot of pressure on the people in this state because we're home to the biggest lithium deposit that we have. So it's like, they think about the bigger picture and not the smaller picture. And I think that's why this needs to be more reported on, especially locally, because these are our people that live nearby us. They're our neighbors, you know what I mean? And they have homes. They've probably lived there for years before this mine was even discovered.
Gaia Osborne is a grad student at the University of Nevada, Reno in the School of Journalism. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Noah, for having me.